for this.
Mike, if you're out there listening, God bless you, buddy. Be safe. Come on back. Your fans are waiting for you tomorrow, but thank you for letting me sit in. Well, folks, listen, we do have Dr. Gavin Finley with us. We've got callers on the line as well, and caller, if you'll hang on a minute, please be patient. We will get you on, but I really need to give the floor to Dr. Finley to get him to set this up, and then, of course, we'll be taking calls, and you can participate in this conversation. But as I said, Dr. Gavin Finley, endtimepilgrim.org, he is a prolific student of the Word of God, a prolific researcher. He is very gifted. He is an expert, I believe, in scriptural and prophetic research, and he has a great ability to communicate that at any level you want to go. Now, I asked him today, I said, man, don't go too deep. You'll overwhelm us all, me included, because he can go deep. But we're going to start off with just some stuff that we've been talking about here for years and kind of at a surface level to build some interest, and then you can call and ask anything you want. But Dr. Gavin Finley is an anesthesiologist from Pensacola, Australian born. You'll hear his beautiful accent in a moment. Been practicing medicine in Pensacola for 20 years, but as I said, for over a quarter of a century, a prolific researcher of the Word of God, not just for head knowledge. I mean, this is devotional to him. This is his heart. This is his relationship with the Lord, and he believes God has revealed some things to him. So Gavin, may I call you Gavin over the radio? Okay, God bless you. Gavin, let me just, and you need to call me the Reverend High Doctor, Pastor Carl Gallops, and I'll call you
Brother Carl.
Okay. Brother Gavin, let me just ask you, I know if I just said, what has God revealed to you, you would need a four-hour show. But let me just ask you, set it up. Do you see America in prophecy? Where are we? Who are we? Why are we here? Why is America here, the number one superpower of the world? How does this tie into Scripture? I mean, you've got Israel coming back to the land in 1948. You've got Iran and Russia conspiring right now to destroy Israel, which is the prophecy of Ezekiel 38 and 39. All of this is on our news every day. We see the Bible coming alive, but yet we ask, who are we, and why are we here, and why are we so powerful, and what's going on? What is your opinion? What's your impression? What do you think God has revealed to you?
One thing that's important for us to understand is that we're part of Christendom, and Christendom is Western civilization. And so there's been a lot of stories and a lot of superpowers in the past, and here we are in the last 50 years. It's been in America that's a superpower. That's no accident, and it's highly significant. A lot of Americans don't understand or realize that their nation is the superpower and has responsibilities in the world to police the world, with bomb-grade plutonium going missing and yellow cake in the North Caucasus area. We need to be mindful of the fact this is a dangerous world. There must be a superpower, and just as there must be a police force in our city. So with that being the case...
So we have a responsibility before God to kind of keep track of all this because of who we are, right?
Yeah, and this is the most dangerous period in history with the atom bomb. Well, what started this last 50 years, Bretton Woods and the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that set America up as a superpower. And now here we stand, and Americans understand they know the battle hymn of the Republic, and they know that American history abuts up into the apocalypse. And so they're quite naturally interested in where America stands.
Yeah.
And so it's important we understand this is a matter of information, of the head knowledge. It's also very much a devotional matter.
Yeah. So you see things going on in the world, as I do, and that is, yes, I see the political ramifications. Yes, I see the socioeconomic ramifications. Yes, I understand the geographic ramifications. I understand the cultural ramifications. But I also understand the biblical, the spiritual ramifications. As I watch on the news, for example, Iran and Russia building nukes together, and the president of Iran getting behind his pulpit declaring, "I will destroy Israel." But see, you and I know the scriptures. 2,700 years ago, a man named Ezekiel...
Ezekiel 38.
Yes, yeah. It was 38 and 39. He said, in the last days, Persia and Gog and Magog, which is the ancient tribal names for those that have settled in the area of Russia and some of the outlying nations, these groups of people would conspire in the last days to destroy Russia. And I mean, destroy Israel. And what's so amazing is that these folks weren't even allies with each other until the last 10 years. Yeah. And so biblical prophecy is coming alive. And in the middle of this, here's America sitting as the superpower of the world.
Yes. And we have the understanding that America became great because of certain choices that they made in the past and certain spiritual heritage that it has in biblical Christianity. If we look at the 1700s and compare France to America and say, look, here's two test tubes. One of them is a nation that decided to establish their republic based upon human reason and nature. And
that would be France.
That would be France.
Okay.
And they kicked out their biblical Christians. They stomped on their Reformation with Machiavellian malevolence, by the way.
Right.
And they pushed the Huguenots across to the coast and sieged them at the Siege of La Rochelle. The British couldn't break them out of there. Here we have a nation that kicked out their biblical Christians. And in one test tube, and in the other test tube, we have a nation that accepted biblical Christianity, namely the United States of America, with people on their knees in Congress praying that God would save their nation and preserve their nation and establish their nation in God. Now,
and our first president, Washington, took that first Congress, walked down the street. The first capital of the United States of America was New York City. A lot of people forget that. They walked down the street to a little chapel, and they spent 2 hours in prayer praying for our nation and its foundation.
Yes, they were very worried because there was no good reason to expect that the nation would stay together. They'd lost their king. They'd lost their connections to Europe. But the thing that they did have was biblical faith. And the awakenings that began in the early nation of America were outstanding, as they were in England with the with John Wesley and Wycliffe and Jonathan Edwards and so forth. And here we have a heritage of biblical Christianity. Now we've got our two test tubes. Let's go back there and have a look.
Yeah, got France and America. Two test tubes.
One of them was successful, and the other one was not. Okay, which nation would you like to live in?
Yeah, well, I know. I'm staying right where I am.
Yes, and see, I'm an Australian. My grandfather was an American, actually. He left Seattle, and instead of going up to the gold fields in the Yukon, he decided to go to Australia. So my heart is in America. I love this country, and I want to see that this country is given proper information as they come up to the thresholds at the end of the age. Yeah. It's amazing to me how we watch the History Channel and watch Nostradamus and misinformation.
Yeah.
And yet we won't go back to the Holy Scriptures.
I know. And you know, and people will go to Nostradamus, for example, since you brought him up, and read some veiled quatrain of gobbledygook and say, oh my gosh, isn't that fascinating? But then they will miss the Word of God, which has had for over 2,000 years specific prophecies about the return of Israel to the land in the last days, where they would come from, the nations they would come from, and how they would return to the land. All of that's in the Bible, and it happened in our lifetime, and people say, oh, that's just some old ancient piece of literature. It doesn't matter. Ezekiel 38 and 39, naming the countries in the last days that would cohort together, conspire together, and declare that they were going to attack Israel 2,700 years ago, directly naming the nations, and people say, oh, that's just an ancient. But Nostradamus is our hero. it's the blindness, the darkness is amazing.
It seems like America's at the crossroads right now. They're going to have to decide whether or not they're going to go with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or whether they're going to go the way that France went with secular humanism.
Yeah. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hey, Gavin, let's go and let's talk to Doug. Doug, you want to weigh in on this, my friend? Thank you so much for waiting.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and good morning there, Mr. Gavin. How are you doing?
Yes, Doug, I may have heard your voice before.
Yes, sir, you have, very often, and I really enjoy your website, especially the post-tribulation rapture, which reveals the pre-trib hoax. I want to address that with something that's near and dear to my heart.
Gavin and I agree on that, by the way, Doug, just
sir,
in case you're wondering. Yeah.
I wanted to ask Gavin, on the air, number one, they separate Israel from a Gentile church. And then they put the people in the tribulation under a set of laws which no one could keep without the Holy Spirit. Here's the grievous part I want you to address. After the cross of Jesus Christ, when he had shed his precious blood through dispensational untruth, they have, in fact, made the blood of Christ of none effect by setting up another gospel. Would you address this? And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, thank you so much,
yes,
Doug. Basically, his question was, you know, what's the responsibility of the church in these last days? We talk about a rapture coming, and there's all kind of theories as to when the rapture, when God's people would be taken out, but he wanted you to address that, so you go ahead.
Yes, I'll just take a brief moment to address that issue, which seems to be a really pretty much a hot potato. Basically, at its root, it's a devotional matter. And the question is, do we want to take the baton to the end of the relay race, or do we want to just give it to somebody else to finish the race? I think the Lord wants us to basically finish the race. And so if you want to understand the rapture, you have to understand the scripture, both in 1 Thessalonians and in 1 Corinthians, which connects the resurrection to the rapture. So if you want to find out when the rapture is, then just find out when the resurrection is. And your answer is going to be in John chapter 4 and also in Revelation chapter 20. I'm not going to say any more at this point. I want you to go and dig into the scriptures for yourself, discover this matter for yourself. Yeah. Don't listen to anybody or allow them to tell you what is in the Bible without you going there yourself and checking it out personally.
Right, right. Well, and I appreciate that. And there's several keys to finding it. And as you mentioned, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 starts off by saying, concerning the coming of the Lord and our being gathered to him. How much clearer can you be than that? Concerning the coming of the Lord and our being gathered to him, then Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, that day will not come until the man of lawlessness is revealed, that one spoken of by the prophet Daniel. And then he goes on into this description of those days. Well, he says that our being gathered to the Lord and the return of the Lord and the coming of the Lord, the rapture, is not going to happen until the Antichrist is revealed to the world.
Yes, that's quite clear.
Yeah, it's quite clear, and really destroys the pre-trib rapture understanding. And that's just one little portion. As you and I were saying during the commercial, it would take us 3 hours to go through this point by point.
But if people go back to the Bible and read for themselves, God will reveal it to them.
Right.
Basically, the resurrection is the key. If you find out when the resurrection is, then the rapture. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. So basically, there's your answer. And as far as the Antichrist being revealed before the coming of the Lord, the gathering, that's stated quite clearly by Jesus.
By Jesus himself,
the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24.
Matthew 24.
And also
Luke.
Jesus himself said that, look, I have come in my Father's name, and you didn't receive me. But there is one who's going to come in his own name. In other words, he's going to be a Luciferian selfist. Mm-hmm. He's going to be one who lifts up the God of self. Mm-hmm. And he's going to come in his own name, and you're going to receive him.
And you're going to receive him.
Now, this blows my mind.
Blessed be his name.
I cannot believe that in Christendom that would happen, or among our Jewish brethren that it would happen, that they would lift up a man who comes not in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob,
but comes in his own name.
Yeah. That is amazing. And yet that's what's written in the scriptures.
And that's what Jesus said.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's written in scripture, but it came out of the mouth of Jesus himself.
So we need to listen to what he said.
Well, listen, turning the corner just a little bit here. Now you've done a lot of research on the seven feasts of the Lord, or of Israel, as they're called in the scriptures. The seven feasts of the Lord as given to Israel, found in Leviticus. And these seven feasts, of course, Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths, the seven feasts. And you have done a lot of research, and you've discovered what I believe I've discovered, the two of us and many others are discovering it, that these feasts not only clearly lay out the work, death, resurrection, ministry of Jesus, but also have tremendous prophetic understanding. Speak to that a little bit.
Yes, we have. Sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. We're in amongst the trees. But if we're lifted up in the Word of God and have a biblical worldview, he can give us a broad overview of what's going on. And that's the situation with the seven feasts of Israel. There are three spring feasts and one summer feast. The three spring feasts are the Feast of Passover, Unleavened Bread, and First Fruits. Those happen to be the very days in which Jesus crucified. He was crucified
on
Passover.
Yep.
He was buried on Unleavened Bread, and he rose again as a First Fruits from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits, right upon those Hebrew dates.
Which always begins, the Feast of First Fruits always begins on a Sunday, because the law says that it is to begin the first day after the first Sabbath of Passover.
The
first day after the first Sabbath is always a Sunday.
Yes.
And so he was resurrected on a Sunday as the firstborn from the dead. It's unbelievable. Continue.
Yes, and our next feast is a summer feast, and lo and behold, that was fulfilled. These first four feasts have been fulfilled in the New Covenant. The last three feasts, the four feasts, have not yet been fulfilled.
Speak to that fourth feast, the summer feast, Pentecost.
Yes, well, it just so happens that day, the day of Pentecost, was the day in which the church was born, back 2,000 years ago. And that was the very day in which Moses brought the law down from Mount Sinai.
Yes, thank you for saying that. It's also the day that Israel was born.
So it's the birthday of Israel is the birthday of the church. Now, yes. We don't see the significance of that now, but quite obviously it's not a coincidence.
No, it's not a coincidence.
And are connected to Israel, and if we want to see a connection to Israel in your ultimate citizenship, if we come to a point in history when my Australian flag comes down and then we're in a new world order, or the British flag comes down, or the American flag comes down, we say, is all lost? No. We have our connections in Israel, and in Ephesians 2:11 through 13, we see that the Apostle Paul says, look, you were once outsiders, you were pagans, outside the covenants, but now, through the blood of Christ, you're brought into the commonwealth of Israel. So we have a connection to Israel.
And we do.
We have the same birthday.
Our nation has a huge connection to Israel. Christians have a huge connection to Israel. The church has a huge connection to Israel, and you just said, and we have the same birthday.
Both those accounts of the law coming down and also the Holy Spirit coming down were days of trembling and days in which God came down to his people. And it's interesting, under the law, 3,000 died at Sinai, but under the coming of the Holy Spirit,
3,000 were saved in Acts chapter 2. It's unbelievable.
When Peter was preaching.
All right, folks, you're back. WBY Open Mic. Carl Gallup sitting in for Mike Mashburn, Dr. Gavin Finley in the studio with us. We have a few moments, some callers on the line. Let me just encourage you, go to Google and Google the Seven Feast of Israel. You'll see my DVD right there near the top, the Seven Feast of Israel, produced by Ichthus Films. You'll see a lot of Dr. Gavin Finley's work. You go to the endtimepilgrim.org, look at all of his work. It's just a plethora of material. It's unbelievable what you can spend weeks on his website. Go to our website, hickoryhammockbaptist.org, and go to the DVD icon, click on it, and look at all of our DVDs and CDs. You can use PayPal there to make your donations to it. We've got like 17 or 18 DVDs and CD sets, all on biblical topics. The Seven Feast of Israel is there. We didn't even get to the Fall Feast, and we might not have time to do that, but we're going to have you back, Dr. Finley. This has been fascinating. A lot of callers, a lot of interest. Tim, you're on. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm going to ask a question of scripture, and then I'll hang up and let you explain. I had a Jehovah Witness the other day tell me to look at Ecclesiastes, I believe it is, and I believe it was 9, and it speaks of people living need to live for everything they've got, because after death there is no conscience.
Yeah.
Can you explain to me a little bit about what that means?
Yes, I can, and then I'm going to let Dr. Finley weigh in. But the bottom line is, you're reading the words of a man who is giving his testimony of the days in which he had gone mad because he had turned from God, he had turned from everything that was godly. He admits in his own testimony in the book of Ecclesiastes, he had turned to drugs, to alcohol, to sex, to perversion, to orgies, to everything, and that's the philosophy he came up with as he was living that lifestyle. But at the end of his testimony, he comes to the conclusion that, you know what, through all of that lie, I discovered that the best thing a man can do is to live for God with all of his heart. So what happened to the Jehovah Witness, they took a passage of Scripture out of context and superimposed it upon the Word of God. Did Solomon say those words? Yes. Did he mean that's how we're supposed to live? No. He was giving a testimony of what happens when you turn from God.
Yes, I'd agree. Pastor Carl.
Okay, it's that easy, huh? Just,
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And I just answered his question for him. Okay. Well, Pete, you're on. You've got the last couple of minutes. Ask Dr. Finley a question, Pete.
Brother Gav, I appreciate you showing up, sir. Appreciate you calling in. Real quick, gentlemen, can someone please try to explain how Barack Hussein Obama, the most merciful, blessed be his name, is so anti-Israel? What's that going to do to our country? I mean, the very first things he did in office was call Muslim leaders and have Muslim TV interviews and get on the phone, and it just nothing with Israel. And I remember, I'll bless those that bless me and curse those that curse me and bless those that bless Israel. So wow, you know, that's kind of, can you kind of fill me in? And I'll hang up, sir. Can I have your opinion on the anti-Israel status? I believe that Barack Hussein Obama, the most merciful, is. I mean, he's not doing anything for Israel and anti.
Well, Pete, we're going to let Dr. Finley answer that, and thanks for calling, Pete. Love you, man. All right, Dr. Finley.
Basically, we need to be watchful of any great leader that comes up on the scene. I'm not too particularly worried about the destiny of America from that point of view. because I believe that the biblical Christians of America go all the way back to the Puritans that rose up in England in the 1600s. In fact, we have good evidence that we've got a long-staying bunch of people here who have had a history of success in everything that they've done. And the Puritans are in America. And we know they're in America because we see their heraldry on the backs of their SUVs.
We see
the yellow ribbons of the Puritans, and the Puritans wore those yellow ribbons out onto the battlefield when they went to the when Parliament went to war against the King back in the 1640s. We're looking here at a group of people who will not lie down and allow a godless government to overrule. So I'm not particularly worried about that. I'm a little bit more worried that Christians might rise up and accept that their political power is all that God wants for them.
Right.
And that's more of a worry to me. So I'm not really worried. I do believe, though, that we need to watch all our leaders and basically keep in mind that there is going to be a false messiah at some point.
There will be.
We just need to be watchful.
And it is alarming. It is alarming what Pete was speaking of, that he seems to be so anti-Israel and so pro-Muslim. But anyway, listen, we've got about a minute. Do you have any closing words you want to say?
The point that I'd like to bring across today is there are pilgrims and Puritans in America, and the pilgrims will go on to the very end.
I agree with you. The pilgrims, especially those pilgrims that belong to Jesus Christ. Well, folks, thank you. This has been a very different show, but I hope you've enjoyed it. Dr. Finley, thank you for being here. We will have you back. God bless you, folks. You've been listening to Open Mic with Carl Gallup sitting in for Mike Mashburn.
WEBY.